If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Definitely want to get to 10. Now, that's for sure. And I know many people at that point, then they move over to multifamily. I mean, this is like a trajectory that many people do because we have the added benefit of having an inside track on this passive side.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Karen Briscoe is the author of 4 books. She's the host of the 5-Minute Success podcast and last year did over $100 million in real estate transactions as an agent. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here. Anybody that's scaling commercial real estate is someone that I want to talk to.
Man, this is great. The pleasure is all mine. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I actually started in dirt in Dallas, Texas. It was a land, worked for a land developer, Trammell Crow, buying land, putting in streets, utilities, selling lots to home builders. Fast forward, my husband's career took us to the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. metro region almost 3 decades ago. And his career was such that he was traveling a lot. And so I was the predominant caregiver for our 2 kids for about a dozen years. And when I reentered the workforce, I went to go work for the Staubach company, had the Nextel account, did sales, engineering, warehouse offices. Well, let me tell you, if you've seen one sales engineering warehouse office, you've seen them all. Pretty boring, very, you know, cookie cutter type of business. And so someone said, well, you have your real estate license. Why don't you do residential? And I'll just say there's this perception, maybe you've felt it or heard it, but those residential people, they do all the soft skills, right? All that emotion surrounding buying and selling houses. And the commercial people are the one with the hard skills, you know, negotiation, market knowledge, strategy. Well, I actually found that I have both. I really am got a hard side and a soft side, and it benefited me bringing both of those skills to the table, and met with success pretty rapidly. It was right after 9/11, buildup of Homeland Security in the Northern Virginia area just propelled our market. It propelled the United States, but we had major growth and was part of that and met, you know, with the notice of the number 10 agent in the nation at the time. She asked me to become her partner. And I took over her business. And in 2008, she passed away in September, which was the same month that the financial markets crashed. You may remember that. So many people, business owners in residential and commercial, you know, first figured out how to survive and then thrive. The market shift, major shift. But I had the added aspect to my business partner passing away. So I had to reinvent the business and brought on my current business partners, Lizzie Conroy in 2009. And in the rebuilding of the business, I had a lot of people say, well, how did you do it? Because it was a challenging time and a challenging situation on top of a challenging time. And so that led to many people asking me how I did it. And I started coaching and training and speaking in addition to selling. And that led to the book, Real Estate Success in 5 Minutes a Day. And that is what began what I call my creative endeavor journey of doing now a podcast, the 5 Minute Success Podcast, over 350 episodes, and also 3 more books since then, and continue to being a mega agent selling over $100 million in real estate. So I have some things that I've learned along the way and am thrilled to be here, part of your community.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, there's so many different directions I want to take this, but let's see if we can, here in the 20-minute format we've got, try and dial this thing in. I mean, my goodness. One, the 5-minute success concept. What is that?
Well, so the thing is what I discovered is people that are in sales, entrepreneurs, they seem to have busy in spades, right? they don't seem to have enough time to do anything. So I was like, okay, can you invest 5 minutes a day? And the book is based on reading a page a day or like what a daily reader or inspiration or motivational, but in a business book. And the idea is there's 4 core principles. And really, truly this, now that I've interviewed over 350 people in all areas of real estate, commercial, residential, all sorts of authors, entrepreneurs, coaches, They all follow some aspect of these four core principles. The first one is commit to get leads. So everybody does some form of business development, prospecting, lead generation, right? I mean, on the commercial side, investor side, you're looking for deals and you're looking for money. Right. And you're lead generating for that, right? As soon as you stop, then your flow stops, right?
Correct.
And that's true with really all sales. Then there's this consult to sell. This is a conversion. You get the lead, you get the customer client, you get the deal. You got to take it through a process so a transaction comes out on the other end. And that usually means money, right? So without money, well, even nonprofits do that, right? Because as soon as a nonprofit stops bringing in revenue, then they're going to cease to exist too. So everybody does this. Then what I found is many people get on a hamster wheel. They're only as good as their next deal.
Right.
And they're dependent on the cash flow, right? And then they become deal junkies. But there are principles to create system, scale, leverage. I call that connect to build and grow. The companies and the firms that create this scale, what you talk about scale, right? How do you go beyond only as good as your next deal to create these systems, leverage, and sustainability? And then what I also found in successful people is they all have this mindset motivation component. They have the success thinking activities and vision. They have a vision where they want their business and life to go. They think about how to do it and they put the actions into place, the activities into place. And really these principles are, you know, a core framework for the book, but the podcast, my business, and what I found is really pretty universally true.
Can you give the summary again of those four things?
The four.
Yeah.
Commit to get leads.
Yep.
Consult to sell. Connect, build, and grow, success, thinking, activities, and vision.
Right, right. Wow, that's great. I love how you've really boiled down those components down into something very, very digestible. I guess that's why it's 5 minutes of success
concept. Yes. Well, and that's the thing is that many people say they don't have enough time. Really, truly, it's not time, it's energy is what is the fundamental currency of high performance. Right. So you want to be focusing your energy, what you focus on expands. You want to focus on the key things that are going to bring you success.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you figured out how to do that both in your life. You know, obviously as an agent closing $100 million in transactions last year, was that you and your team or was that you on your own?
Oh, well, me and a team, yes. Anybody who says they're doing $100 million on their own, they're not really telling you what's going behind the scene. Two agents. We're in a high cost of living area. McLean and Great Falls are even more expensive zip codes than DC. So we're the most expensive area to live in. So we have a high dollar average, which means we have a very sophisticated clientele. So we're operating at a very high level. But the systems that are in place for doing that, for scaling that, apply, right? It's the same for whatever, you know, profession, industry, area you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like you said, those apply across the board. I don't care if you're in manufacturing, if you are in real estate, if you're an agent, I don't care if you're out there hustling corn dogs. I mean, it's the same things apply.
They do. And that's what's so universal about it. So, but once you figure that out, that's what I said, I figured it out. And actually that whole framework, really the whole back on a napkin, right? So, you know, you have a publisher say to you, well, give me your book concept. And I'm like, oh, this is it. And I just drew it on the back of a napkin, not really knowing what I was doing. But now that I've had all these conversations with people and coaching on it, and it continues to hold true. That's why they really are fundamental universal principles.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you work just as an agent or are you also an investor?
I am an investor. It was a real eye-opening perspective for me. Well, first of all, I'm in real estate, so you should invest in what you believe in and you know best, right?
And the number of agents that don't blows my mind. Oh,
it does, absolutely. And classic, I became a classic investor. I became an accidental investor because our son moved back to the area from college, couldn't find a place to live. I was like, well, I could buy a townhouse. You could live in it with your bud, pay us rent. They actually turned out to be the worst tenants ever because I got two dogs and which really destroyed the place. But I figured out, you know, this, and I'm sure, you know, other people have figured this out before me, but I figured out, you know, that you get the benefit of, you know, you have the tenants paying, you get to buy 100% of an asset with 20% down, basically. Tenants paying the mortgage, you know, as the mortgage gets paid down, you know, you have increased, but, you know, office our marketer is experiencing the benefit of appreciation in both the asset as well as rent, and then, you know, the tax benefits. So just so many benefits. So once I had that, you know, awakening, we have now have six. Our son, as I mentioned, is a commercial real estate. So he's in shopping centers. So we invest in his shopping centers, which of course requires being, you know, a accredited investor. It's a different category of investing than a residential, but.
It is. Now, I am curious. So you're obviously a passive investor in, you know, the commercial real estate side of things.
Yes.
But, and you figured out how to scale your brokerage business very, very well. That's really cool. Either, I guess if you, well, let me ask this question. This could be offensive. If it is, we can cut it out. But why didn't you scale more into your own personal real estate holdings?
Oh, well, for the same reason many people do, you know, time and money. Once, it's like anything though, once I figured out the first one, then the next one became easier, and the next one became easier, and the next one became easier. And then at four, we brought in an the bookkeeper who does the company's books, but I was like, okay, we can't be doing this on our own anymore at four, right? Sure. So sure. We scaled that. And once we got the bookkeeping systematized, then we were able to take on two more. So the idea is, yeah, to definitely want to get to 10. Now that's for sure. And I know many people at that point, then they move over to multifamily. I mean, this is like a trajectory that many people do.
Correct.
Because we have the added benefit of having an inside track on this passive side. You know, we're also putting resources in that direction. But I would say, you know, the whole idea is I wish that we would have started earlier. Mm. I mean, that's actually, of course, it's easy to say that now, but the trajectory for doing more is just building up the down payment to be able to buy the next one. Now we're in a very high appreciation period of time. And what happens in high cost of living market areas, and I'm sure many people have, you know, done the numbers, you don't get the same return
right
as you do in the other ones. But what we're making up for that in our calculations are, you know, the benefits of the tax benefit as well as the other appreciation opportunities.
Right.
And,
right.
And I have another interesting thing that,
yeah,
what benefit that I don't have ever heard anybody say this before, but I am a real estate agent and people who rent often buy houses.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's happened multiple times. So like one of the first things we say to people, you know, if you're ready to buy a house, you've got built-in landlords who can help you. And we'll give you, you know, a flexible move-out schedule.
Now that's attractive.
It is.
That's really attractive is to a tenant because, hey, you know what? I'm going to go buy a house, but instead of, especially in a high rent district, hey, I'm going to break the lease, but you're probably like, all right, sure.
Break the lease, buy a house. I can make a lot more money when you buy a house.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, please break the lease. This would make me really happy. Said yeah. No landlord ever, except for Karen. No,
except for me. But if you are out there and you're going, oh my gosh, I had no idea. This is actually a great lead generating strategy. Because if you think about it, it's the beginning of the pipeline, right? A qualified tenant, you know, who's renting in a high cost of living, well, really anywhere, but renting in a high cost of living area, they probably have the job and the income. You know, they just need to figure out how to get the down payment or, you know, structure it so that they can buy. And once they get there, then if they're staying in the area, they, you should be talking them into buying.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm curious, how are you finding deals that, I know you said you guys are banking on the depreciation and tax benefits and also on appreciation of the asset, but how are you finding deals that even pencil in a high cost market?
So I know that many people have, you know, the ratios that they're looking for. And the ratio I look for is that it's going to cover the mortgage.
Mm.
Because the way I look at it, if it covers the mortgage, then, you know, what other asset can you buy? I mean, that you can have somebody else pay the other 80%, right? I mean, if you look at it that way, and that's the way I look at it. And so, but I get the whole asset, I get the 100% asset for 20%. So I don't run the numbers the same way as other investors that I found. And then I look for assets that have the potentiality of a really high qualified tenant pool, because I find that to be, in my view, of all the people I've helped through the years, it's when they're in a, their tenant pool is sketchy that they get into, you know, issues with turnover. And so I'm looking for that. And then the other thing I look for is the, and I guess it's going to depend on the market area you're in, but I want it to be the rent to be at what is a low professional, or, you know, I'm not looking for a high professional. So our market area, that's 2,500. So once rent gets over 2,500, there's less and less people that can afford that. So a couple, and it's not always a husband and wife, but a couple, because I have some situations where it's two single people, can afford that rent. That's kind of the maximum. I find when you get over that, then you limit your tenant pool. So you have to figure out your numbers. You have to do your numbers. So if I know that I've got a good tenant pool, I know that it's the opportunity of perhaps, you know, helping them buy a house so we can turn it over that way. And then, or just good stability of tenant. You know, I'm not looking for a high turnover unless I could sell them my house.
Right, right. Well, and I mean, that goes back to like class A apartments, you know.
Yeah, anything like that, yeah.
For you, the stability of the tenant, the not dealing with the problem tenants and not dealing with inferior assets, you know, those are some of those things. And when you mix those in, you get higher returns, sure.
Yes. And that's where the ones that I've done, well, I've done them all that way, but I figured it out pretty quickly that I was going to be able to raise the rents on those two. Understand? So you have the benefit of they have, you know, they're in professions where their income is going to go up, but they're going to reach a point where they're going to be at an income they're going to want to buy.
Right.
So it's kind of that sweet spot between they're still renting, but they're probably potential buyers.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, that makes all the sense in the world. I think the reason this model works for you as well is because you are not a professional real estate investor that is relying on the income from these properties to put money in your pocket. You're buying these as, hey, cool, we're going to pay down that mortgage. You know, you've got ancillary benefits coming from these that the rest of us maybe, you know, couldn't afford to do just because we're in a different position. So you've got your own business out there running and doing its own thing.
So. But I still think that it works for other people because the long term, I mean, I've had many people have this conversation with me. They go, I just don't understand how you can make it work in this area. And I'm like, yes, it does. Because if you hold anything long enough, it's going to get paid for and there's going to be cash flow, right? And the rents almost always go up, right? And so far, the appreciation has always gone up. And so I still feel like it's worth, you know, anybody who bought real estate anytime other than the last run-up, but even people who bought the last run-up now have proven that the market came back.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Karen, this has been fascinating. I've certainly enjoyed it. Let's jump here into the final four.
Yes.
Question is this. Number one, what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Well, start today because, you know, when was the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago? The next best time is now. Same with real estate.
Right. Yeah, I love that. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
The morning routine. I am a fan of Hal Elrod and the Miracle Morning and following the Savers. So that has been a great way to invest in myself and start the day.
Right. No, that's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Well, the contribution, being a guest on podcasts such as this and the 5-Minute Success podcast, opportunity to, you know, perhaps share some inspiration and insights that will help transform their business and life.
Right. No, that's great. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, Karen, how do they do that?
So 5-Minute Success is the number 5, and you can find it on the website, 5-Minute Success, the podcast. All of my books are available on Amazon. If you want a quantity, you can reach out to me. So the 4 books are Real Estate Success in 5 Minutes a Day. I have 2 66-day challenge books. One of them, Commit to Get Leads, 1, Consult to Sell. And then another book, Flip Time, Love Life, which is a story. And I also have the coaching that if you're interested in exploring with me, if you go to the 5-Minute Success website, you can sign up to have a 30-minute consult.
That is awesome. Karen, thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen,
If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.